So as we began at the end of last week with these short Mincha Maariv slots, I had mentioned that we'd start going through, in reverse order approximately, the Shem HaGedolim of the Chidah, which is essentially short biographies about all of the different books and Sfarim that were written, as well as some of the great Gedolim of the past, really in encyclopedic fashion. Last time we talked about Talmud Bavli, and as we mentioned, there are some elements of Kabbalah that are present in this book, those that are, you know, at the very least explainable from my perspective. I will try to, you know, give a basic idea of anything, of course, that's deeper than I can understand. I don't want to get myself involved in teaching publicly, although perhaps I should learn more of that. So last time we talked about the Talmud Bavli, and the Chidah had written in the name of earlier Mekubalim that each land had its tikufa, had its time, where it had a lot of Talmidei Chachamim and Torah in it in order to draw out the Nitzotzos from that land. And therefore, he says, at a certain point, once the land reached that peak in their Talmud Torah, they had sort of exhausted what needed to be extracted from a spiritual point of view, and therefore the Torah center of the world could actually shift from land to land. So that was last time we talked about the Talmud Bavli. However, he does have a couple more Ha'aros that he comments. He talks about, first of all, the general concept of the amazing opportunity we have to learn Talmud. He does talk about, again, from Rav Yitzchak de Minako, the Talmud Chaver, someone who was, you know, both a Talmud but also a contemporary of the Ramban. And he talks about how, again, this is sort of like dressing up a kala, a bride, when one learns Talmud with all the different questions, all the different answers, kuchios terutzim. It's really a very beautiful thing. And he noted as well, from B'Shem, the Tshuva of Rabbeinu Haigon and other people, anybody who learns Gemara, Talmud, Lishma, whether Bavli, whether Yerushalmi, gets saved from this spirit Lilis, which seems to be some sort of demon. And he gives you a couple of gematrias for that as well, that it's gematria tamim. If you add a yud to the word Talmud, it's begematria tamim. And again, it purifies your thought. He also talks about Talmud Bavli, is Bigamatria 524, which is actually the number of Prakim in Shisha Sidre Mishnah, in the six orders of Mishnah, and he goes on to prove from that's actually, in this merit, that's why we're going to be redeemed. Mashiach ben David is a slightly similar Gematria, but with the method of Gematria that he uses, it will actually equal the same thing, this 524, and therefore we see that in the Schus of learning Talmud, Talmud Bavli, specifically in this case, we will have the Mashiach come, b'mehera v'yameinu, but we're not done for today. Now we can go back. So, a couple of, you know, other entries that he has. I'm trying to focus on the ones that he elaborates on a little bit more rather than just the one-liners, but there certainly is a lot more to the Shem HaGedolim. And he said he talks about the Sefer HaTrumos, which is a Sefer written on the Choshen Mishpat elements, the elements of, you know, sort of that monetary law, a little bit of civil law, by Rav Shmuel HaSardi, who was the Talmud at the Ramban, and how there were a couple of things written on that. He also wrote about the Sefer HaTruma. That was a Sefer HaTrumos. There was also a Sefer HaTruma. Sefer HaTruma is well known to people who have studied for Smicha or have learned Yeridei at length. It's quoted, it's on Isser Veheter, and it was by Rabbeinu Baruch, who was a Talmud of the Ri, Baal HaTosvos. He quotes an opinion from Maharash Chayun to say that most of what the Sefer HaTruma wrote was actually taken from his Rebbein, the Balei HaTosfos. The Chidah himself disagrees and says, no, he himself was one of the Balei HaTosfos we know, and his stuff is, you know, good enough on its own. I wanted to finish off with the last one for today, which will be a little bit lengthier than the others, and that is Targum Yonasan al HaTorah. Targum Yonasan al HaTorah is very, very interesting. For the following reason, the Gemara at the beginning of Megillah talks about the different translations of the Torah, talks about Targum Onkelos, and it talks about Targum Yonasan. And he notes that the Maharsha wrote at the beginning of Megillah that Yonasan ben Uziel was actually before Onkelos, and he says, for whatever reason, Yonasan decided not to translate the Torah, he decided to translate only the Nevi'im. The Gemara there talks about why he didn't translate Ksuvim. You know, asks the Chidah, he says, one second, when I was younger, I said, what do you mean, Maharsha? We have a Targum Yonasan al HaTorah. What do you mean, there's no Targum Yonasan al HaTorah? Of course there is. I've seen it myself in the Chumashim, right? And he says, not only that, and in only his fashion of Bekias, says Tosfos brings it here, and the Nemuke Yosef brings it here, and the Rikanti brings it here, and this person brings it here. Everybody's quoting this Targum Yonasan al HaTorah. So how can you say that Yonasan didn't translate the Torah? It's quoted by all these great Gedolim. And the biggest question that he has, he says, you know, the Maharsha himself quotes Targum Yonasan al HaTorah, at least in a couple of places, writes, he says, Dihu atzmo sham b'megillah b'chidushi agaros perak akorei omeid. He brings from Targum Yonasan. So he says, you're telling us on the one hand he didn't translate the Torah, but you bring his translation on the Torah. How can this be? So he actually answers, he saw from Mahari Chagiz in the Sefer Korban Mincha, that actually what we call Targum Yonasan al HaTorah is not actually Targum Yonasan. Academics refer to it as Targum Pseudo-Jonathan, because it's not really Targum Yonasan. And he says, he brings you a list of proofs that this is actually correct, including the fact, you know, different versions of Bali HaTosfos, the Aruch, that actually quote these same citations that he had in the name of Targum Yonasan al HaTorah from Targum Yerushalmi. He says that's the Targum Yerushalmi, but it was referred to as Targum Yonasan, whatever the case is. And again, people say it's called Targum HaMiyuchas LeYonasan, that's what we call it. And he says, actually, if you examine the work, it actually is quite different in language from Targum Yonasan Alevi. And so therefore, he concludes, like Mari Chagiz, that this was not actually a translation from Yonasan Ben Uziel, but rather another Targum from Eretz Yisrael, and that sort of got caught up in his name. How that got caught up in his name, there are a couple of interesting theories running around there, but we'll stop here for now. Rabbi Chananu ben Kashi Omar.